Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Elohim, our Savior and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say good morning, family. I pray that you have had a blessed evening and that the Most High has richly blessed you in His Word. I pray that everything is well in your lives, that you are counting on the Most High, and that you're learning to build yourself up in Him every day. I was up kind of late last night talking with some other people, and, you know, everybody is feeling this crunch. Feel like, you know, something is coming. You know, they're starting to restock up on food and restock up, you know, on just everything because they feel like things are about to get worse. And, you know, those are my sentiments exactly. So a lot of people are preparing, and, you know, we want to be faithful to the Most High and continue to work and to be ready. You know, everybody's not getting the same message for no reason. So, you know, it just encourages me that we are doing the correct thing at the correct time. That being said, on today we are continuing in the blood covenant. We want to finish this up so that, you know, like I said, we can go into the new and we can establish ourselves, because this is the rules that we will use for, you know, our family, our community. And we want to make sure that everyone that comes in understands. We will obey the voice of the Most High. You know, and I'm not going to leave it open to private interpretation. It is by the Ruach that we are doing this. And, you know, I was asked to teach some other people in this concerning this. Not that they would join us or anything, but that they might have truth concerning, you know, keeping his commandments and fearing him. People are really starting to realize that the true problem is the lack of the fear of the Most High. And as I said before, the scripture says in the last days, this would be the call. You know, the messenger would go around telling people to fear the Most High and keep his commandments. And so, you know, I am encouraged. I'm actually elated that this message is, you know, is getting into the world and people are becoming more receptive to it. And people are wanting to change. They're wanting to change. So, you know, Yah is good and greatly to be praised. It is he who will cause the increase. And we just have to be faithful and do what it is that we're supposed to do. As concerning the land, you know, a lot of people warn me about people going to start wanting to come and to be careful of jealousy and those things. You know, I am prepared to handle any such issues like that. The Most High, he's in charge. And if they are not walking according to his word, if they are contentious, if they are still willfully practicing sin, then, you know, no, they just can't be a part. And, you know, we're not looking for numbers per se, but we're looking for all those that are faithful to the Most High in this endeavor. We can't, you know, have a community where we are dragging the world into it. That is going to always be a problem. So can it happen? Sure. Can people put on a fake face? Sure. But it will all, the Most High will always bring those things to light. And so, you know, we want to make sure that it is well established. This is what we're about on the 100. And as I said, people, I knew once we bought the land that people would start looking more seriously. They would start taking the message more seriously. And that is what has begun to happen, because, as I said, it's not just us that received this. Received a video. I sent it out to the group, which is consists of about 80 to 100 people. And people see that we're serious concerning this thing. And so, you know, we're starting to get responses and what have you. Nevertheless, you know, to come and join us, it's not going to be an easy thing, and people have to be committed, and they have to really be wanting to serve the Most High with everything. I have to understand this concept of having all things in common. So I am encouraged. I pray that you are as well. We want to be centered and well-grounded in the Word of the Most High. As I said, we want to know what the covenant is all about. And I'm realizing, too, that a lot of people never really read the entire covenant from the standpoint of the covenant. You know, a lot of times people read scripture, but they're reading just to read. And sometimes they're reading to study a certain subject, but it matters why you're studying. What I mean by that is, yeah, we're studying to gain knowledge and to understand the Word of the Most High, but a lot of time it is the reason, the filter that you're studying, the subject matter that you're studying and why you're studying. And through conversations last night, I realized that, people who are quote-unquote supposed to be well-versed in the Word, when I started talking about the covenant and a review of the entire Old Covenant, things that they thought that they knew, they found out they really didn't know. And to bring it forward, it matters in how we interpret the New Testament. And so the little short video I did on which sins did Messiah die for, with the comparison of the old to the new, has started to open some people's eyes, because they realize that the world, they themselves, were taught to put a certain slant on even the Most High. You know, this picture of him being all loving and all merciful and all kind just is not true. I mean, he is those things, and I don't mean to say it like that in such a way that makes him seem just overly mean, because he's not. He has an expectation of his creation. And it's his creation that has lowered his expectation of itself, and mankind that has lowered the expectation for our actions, for what we do and the consequences thereof. And we expect the Most High to accept that. And truly and clearly in his Word, he does not. But this is the picture that has been painted of him. And I guess to get people to come, to get people to be attracted to him, maybe Christianity, the leaders, whatever spirit this is, painted this picture, but it's a false picture. And the Most High says that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so they're starting to see that people who argue with me 6 weeks ago concerning this same subject, when it was laid out for them, such as in this video, it made more sense to them. And, they are now seeing that we can't just use the Most High, use Messiah, as a sin ATM. And that they can't just willfully sin and expect that he's going to forgive them. So they're starting to see it. And, it's taken a little while, but I believe that if you truly have the Spirit of the Most High and you truly are looking to worship him in spirit and in truth, then, you have to look at yourself. I had to look at myself when the Most High showed it to me. And, I truly had to repent of it. And so I think people are starting to see it. A lot of people fought it. You know, you're taking away our hope. You are. I said, I'm not doing anything like that. And I'm showing you truth. And you must worship him in truth. You know, so they fought it for a minute. But now, you know, they are. I think it just took a little bit of time for the Most High to work on them. That they would understand that, you know, we can't just serve the Most High just any kind of way. And you know, the very words that they say, the Most High don't change. So when it was laid out for them, this is how he forgave in Torah. What makes you think it's going to change in the New Testament? Then, you know, they couldn't argue with it. They found it hard to argue with. So the word is going out. I know that people who are seeing it, and the more people that see it, the more that will come to this realization that they have been mistaught and that we are in trouble. Everybody. Because of that false doctrine. And, you know, we really need to come before the Most High and fall on our faces and repent before him because we believe the lie. And the scripture says you can believe a lie and be damned. And so, I thank the Most High for however he's using me in this aspect that people should come and see the truth. Still, whatever his verdict is, I have to accept it because, as I said, I was guilty. And, you know, I can only fall on David's words. I pray that the Most High don't impute this sin against me and truly be repentant of it. And so this is the object to call people to true repentance, to fear him. And so, you know, we are going to continue to go forward with this message. This is the message for today. This is the message for this time. For such as should hear the word, hear the gospel, and for people to return to the Most High. Sometimes, you know, as a teacher, as a pastor, you know, you may wonder, is the Most High really saying this to me? Because sometimes the way people react. But I have found that a lot of people are offended at the law. They're offended at his judgments. And when they learn about them, then what they have been taught is contrary to what's actually in the book. It's contrary. And so it threatens a lot of people and it offends them because, you know, they love doing certain things and it is part of their quote-unquote DNA and they don't want to actually change. You know, they would rather run and find somebody that agrees with them. And that's all fine. That's all good. Because I am all about truth. I'm all about worshiping the Most High in spirit and in truth. He don't want us to worship him in a lie. He don't want us to worship him with half information or misaligned doctrines or made up doctrines. But he wants us, you know, as I say, if it's written in this book, then we have to believe it. Okay, and do we really believe what the Most High is saying? And he's giving me that heart for that, to just believe his word and to accept it. And when he shows me my own error, that I, you know, accept it and change my ways because once he shows me, I'm no longer ignorant of it. And I have to hold myself accountable if I don't hold anybody else accountable. I have to hold myself accountable. So I can't change anyone else. I can't save anyone else. Each person has to save themselves. But at least, you know, when you hear truth, and if you can accept it, then you can you can change, because you can come out of the ignorance and choose to worship the Most High in truth. So I'm thanking him every day as he confirms his word, as he confirms the message. And like I said, at first people were not receiving it. A lot of pastors were not receiving it. And still a lot of pastors are still not receiving it. But a lot of them are turning around and starting to receive and starting to be able to hear it and understand that, you know, I've been teaching this thing wrong. And, you know, it's, if they can move pride out of the way, to understand that it is better to find out your error and correct it in truth than to continue to live the lie. So be encouraged. Be lifted up. It is better to make it into the kingdom and to live miserably in this world and to make it into the kingdom than to be comfortable in this world and miss the kingdom. It is far better. You don't have to be with the masses. You don't have to, you know, because the scripture tells us from the very beginning, and we have to believe this, many are called, but few are chosen. And so if you can hear the truth and change your life and commit to the Most High with everything that you have, with your whole body, your whole mind, your spirit, with your substance, because it takes all of that. He wants us 100% behind him, 100% with him. So I am encouraged on this morning, as I said, people that I've talked to for a minute and who have fought certain things, you know, they are starting to turn and change their understanding, because they want to make it in. And so I know that the Most High has to give it to them to understand it. But a lot of times it is the condition of the heart. Are they really willing to be saved? So all praises to the Most High Elohim. All praises to our Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer, the love of our soul, the rock of our faith, our King, because he's true to his word. And I know that we are in a safe place. And I know that what we are doing, the Most High is with us. Sometimes he has to reassure, and even with his messengers, and confirm. You know, it got so bad for what was the prophet's name? It wasn't Elisha. Elijah. It got so bad for him that he thought that he was the only one left in the world. Ran all the way to Mount Horeb to talk to the Most High. You know, they're knocking down your altars, and they're killing all your prophets, and I'm the only one left. And he went there for reassurance. But the thing I realize about that story is the Most High doesn't want his prophets to doubt, ever, ever to doubt his word. If you know and believe that the Most High is talking to you, and that he's going to do a certain thing, or he wants you to do a certain thing, you should never, ever, ever doubt him. And Elijah did. Okay. And he thought he was the only one. And the Most High says, I have, always have a reserve. You're never going to be the only one in the world, even if it looks like that. And so, as I said, I'm encouraged on this morning that when we are going forth, that the Most High is truly with us, that, as I said, we're not the only members of his body, and that he is showing others, and we need to continue in the vein that we're in. We need to continue with the message. We need to continue with our worship, and we need to continue to reach out and to understand that it is the Most High's work. It's His doing. So all praise to the Most High Elohim on this morning. Be encouraged. Be lifted up. All those who started and may fall by the wayside, it may be meant that they fall by the wayside. The Most High would that none should be lost. And it is my same desire that none should be lost. But as I said, it's not me. And I have to know and always keep it before me that it's not me. It's not me that is doing any saving. I'm simply the messenger of the Most High. And I have to, you know, I really need to step into this title because I didn't give it to myself. He gave it to me. His messenger. More than once in the past, people have called me this, but they called me that. I'll just have to tell you the stories. Nevertheless, I need to step into this and understand and never doubt that we are on the track that the Most High would have us on. And this is not the time to become faint. This is not the time to feel weak. This is not the time to go backwards. It's not the time to fail. It's not the time to be in distress. Be encouraged. Understand that you are not here by accident and that the word is going forth and to whosoever will, whosoever it is that he chooses, they will hear it and understand. And they may not accept it at first. They may fight it at first. But the word will get down in them. And if it's meant for them to understand, it will change their heart. And it will convert them. Can't hear this word and hear the truth and stay the same person. It is impossible. It is impossible. So, as I said, I am encouraged. To see that the word of Yah is going forth. This is the message for these last days. We are in the last days. However long they last, they are still the last days. Okay, and so I want to encourage each and every one of you. Don't become weak. Don't lose hope. Don't think that because we are few that we are powerless, because we are not. We are not powerless. Okay, and the Most High says, with him, with one, we can chase 1,000. With two, we can chase 10,000. So I have to always keep that before my own eyes. I have to keep that in my own heart. And I encourage you to keep it in yours. That being said, let us do our statement of faith for this morning. And let us really pour out to the Most High on this morning because He is faithful. He is faithful, okay? And He's looking for faith in the world. And the faith that He's looking for is those that will do His word, those that will keep His word, those that will keep His commandments. It's too many of us running around saying that we love the Most High, saying that we are His people and not keeping His commandments. And we know the scripture says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We know this. By this shall I know that you love me, if you keep my commandments. And so it's crucial. You know, we can't find a reason not to walk in them. Can't find a reason not to keep them. We can't keep being weak and stumbling in front of the Most High. And as I said, think that it's acceptable. Think that it's that he has to forgive us, because he doesn't. And the scripture is showing us over and over and over again that the first reaction from the Most High is really to do you in. If you break his covenant, he was not lenient. So he made a grace period, and people need to understand this grace period. He made a time that he's allowing mankind to repent and come back. Because once he cuts off grace, that's it. And for those who hear it and understand, then we have to know and understand that we can't just willfully walk in disobedience and make an excuse for doing it. Because he does not have to accept it, and he won't. And he doesn't. That's why I said, you know, I'm afraid for my salvation, because I believed a lie. I was mistaught. But I am so grateful that the Most High opened my eyes so that I could at least serve him some of my life in truth. That I wasn't deceived my whole life in this matter. And that, you know, we are able to worship him in spirit and in truth on the for real. Okay? So our statement of faith on this morning: be encouraged, be lifted up, be strong in Yah. No matter how it might look, no matter how it might feel, do what he says to do. Obey his voice, and you won't come out on the losing side. I truly believe this. I truly believe that if, you know, when we repent, truly repent in our heart toward him, and we come back to him in truth, and that we are obeying him in truth, that he will be merciful. That is my prayer. That is what's in my spirit, strongly in my spirit, concerning this matter, and that this is the word for these days. To call the people back to repentance in the fear of the Most High Elohim. Our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you for your salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Hallelujah. We just glorify you and lift you up today, Father. You are our Elohim. You are the creator of the world. You are the creator of the universe. Seen and unseen, known and unknown, Father. You are Elohim everywhere, and we bow down to you humbly, Father, as your creatures, as nothing. We are grateful that you would accept us and declare us to be your children. Hallelujah. What is man that thou were so mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou would visit him, Father? Hallelujah. We just thank you for your love. We thank you for your love, Father. We thank you for your love. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 hallelujah, glory to your name, glory to your name, your name. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning, Father. We magnify you and we lift you up. You are the only being worthy of praise, Father, and we will only worship and praise you. So we magnify you on this morning, Father, truly believing in you and with 100% of our heart, having no doubt. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory. May the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads. We greet you in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. In North America, South America, the continent of Africa, the European continent, wherever you might be listening to this message. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. If you will join us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly and perversely concerning you. And we are turning from our sins and repenting from our wicked ways. And we are returning to your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, Father. And we ask now that you would hear our supplications and our prayers, that you would accept our repentance as we come before you humbly, Father. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, everyone that you call in Christ, that they will come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen. And amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart, and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer, and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause, and forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. The blowing of the shofar. Let us usher in the presence of our Elohim. He has said, when we are in the feast days and in the new moons and in his Sabbaths, to blow the shofar.
Thank you. I do it for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love, it is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that for fact. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You gave me my eyes to see, I just cannot express to thee just how much you mean to me. How close I was lost to deceit. I will never go at it alone, cause you are my force and you are my defender. I have to protect all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that for fact. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back.
Cause that's not where my blessings are, nor they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance, but truth is from the
you are famous for, what you are famous for, shut the
Let us review what we covered yesterday real quick. We covered that the Most High has always only forgiven ignorant sin, and that if we sin ignorantly, not knowing that he said we could bring a sacrifice and the priest could make an atonement, but if we sin presumptuously, knowing it, that it was that sin was to remain upon us and we would maintain, or we would, our iniquity would be upon us, and that we would be cut off. And so this is how he was from the very beginning. We also learned that not only Israel, but the stranger that joined themselves to Israel, when they joined themselves, they were to be up under the same law as Israel. But they also had the same privileges as Israel. They could make a sacrifice to the Most High, a blood sacrifice, and they were to be considered as one in the land. And so we have to understand that once someone joins themselves to us, we are not to treat them as anything different, not as Israel. They become Israel. Okay, there are certain jobs that the Most High didn't allow them to do, but there are certain jobs that he didn't allow all Hebrews to do. So only Aaron and his family, the high priest, were able to even look upon the Holy of Holies. The Levites that carried the altar and the most holy things were not able to look upon them. And so if they were to look upon them, they would die. They were to be put to death. And then the rest of the tribes of Israel were not to come close to the tabernacle. So the stranger, this also applied to those strangers in this case that were actually not of Israel. But the word stranger in the scriptures applied to the other 11 tribes. And it also applied to the tribe of Levi when it came to the Holy of Holies. They were to be considered as strangers when it came to looking upon it. We also learned that the Most High took the tribe of Levi and said, all of the tribe of Levi, and said that they would have no inheritance in the land. Okay, meaning that they weren't supposed to get land that specifically belonged to them. Now, we'll find out that the Most High took land, and he gave it to the Levites, and he took land out of the other tribes. And if somebody, like, hawked their land because they were short on money or whatever, and if they didn't redeem it, in this case, it stayed the property of the Levites. It did not return to that family, but because it was holy unto the Most High at that point. But all other land, if you took a loan from your brother or you sold him your land, you were like leasing it to him. And in the year of the Jubilee, you got that land back. That was covered in previous lessons. Also learned that the Levites were supposed to collect tithes from the people. And the tithes of the people, the tithe was to the Most High. And that he gave it to the Levites for their service to him, for their service of the tabernacle. This is how they made their living. This is how they were paid. And then the Levites themselves were to take a tithe of the tithe, which was a tenth, and it was supposed to be the best of the best, and that went to Aaron and his family. And so the Most High said again, this is for their service to him. This is the same concept even today when the Most High calls you into the ministry. The tithe is to him. And so people should never look at the tithe like they're paying it to a man or an organization. You are paying your tithe to the Most High. And he gives it to his ministry, those that are involved in doing the work. It is their payment from the Most High to them so that they can make a living. Okay. Now, I know that on today, as we start in chapter 19, we'll be in Numbers chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And again, as we were looking on yesterday, we were looking at, we saw the sons of Korah come before the Most High. Korah and two other brothers and their families come before the Most High and accuse, you know, Moses and Aaron of putting themselves above the people. And they wanted to challenge them for power. And, you know, Moses told them, hey, go get, it's 250 of them. Moses told them, hey, bring your censers on tomorrow morning and burn incense before the altar of the Most High, before the tabernacle of witness. And let's see who Yah chooses. Is he going to choose you or is he going to choose us? And this goes back, as I said, to look at the mentality of the Most High when it comes to people who are challenging him, who are challenging those that he puts in authority, and how the Most High, how he responds. So these 250 men, they come and they burn incense before the tabernacle of witness, and the Most High burns them to ashes in a few moments. And then he tells Aaron's son Eleazar, hey, go get their censers that they were burning incense to me in and gather up their ashes, the ashes of these men, and go put them over there because those ashes are holy. They present it before me, before the tabernacle of witness, and they are sinners, but their ashes are holy. They have become a sacrifice. And now take their incense censers that they burnt in and melt them down and make a covering for the altar for a witness to the people that you don't do this. They weren't authorized to come close and burn incense. And see, a lot of times we want to do things that we're not authorized to do in front of the Most High. We're not authorized to present. We are out of order. And so he's showing us by example that he doesn't play with this stuff. They transgressed. Only Aaron and his sons were supposed to burn incense before the tabernacle of witness. But these 250 men got full of themselves, and these families got full of themselves and came to try to challenge. And then Korah and the families, I forget the other two brothers' names, the Most High caused the people to gather around, separate themselves from them, and he didn't have pity on those men or their families. Everything concerning them, their wives, their children, everything, the earth opened up and swallowed them. You know, and their wives may have not had anything to do with it, but the Most High said, you know, the man has to understand just how much responsibility is on his shoulder, even for his family. You can go acting stupid before the Most High, and it's not only you that gets punished, but also your family. Everything that has to do with you, the Most High says, you know, I don't want none of it. And so we have to be very careful in these things, that we don't offend in such a way that we bring destruction, not just on ourselves. But the Most High would say that spirit is in you and it's in your family. So we see that every time that Israel, the people, you know, then on top of that, I mean, this is all back-to-back stuff too. The 250 men coming to challenge Moses and Aaron, Korah and his family and the two other families, the leaders of those families, challenging Moses and Aaron for power. And then after these people are killed, after the Most High burns them up, the people still have the nerve, the congregation, the whole body still has the nerve to come before Moses and accuse him of killing his brethren. Even though they know that these men challenged them for their position and that the Most High burnt them up, they still came and challenged. And Moses and Aaron fell down on their face. And while they're down on their face, the Most High comes down and says, I'm going to consume them all in a moment. And Moses tell Aaron very quickly, get up and go in and get your censer and get incense and burn it and go out in amongst the people. And while Aaron got up and ran as fast as he could for his age, I guess, and got to his censer and filled it with incense and lit it and came back out and ran out amongst the people. And just that quick, already 14,000 people had died. 14,000 people, just that quick, died because of rebellion against the leadership, against the people that the Most High put in place. And so, we see that we should fear him because he don't play. He doesn't play. Okay? And so we want to always keep this before us, that we want to respect those that the Most High has put in authority. We don't ever, because as I said, the Most High, those people should be filled with his spirit. And so when you're dealing with them, you're dealing with the Most High. And just like, you know, Aaron and Miriam. You know, I'm kind of miffed with human nature because Aaron and Miriam made the same mistake earlier. Moses, who do you think you are? The Most High speaks to us also. And the Most High corrected them, like, you know, he didn't kill them. And probably because, I'm really thinking, because they were Moses' brother and sister. I'm thinking that's the only thing that really saved them. But, and in this case, it also was Miriam was the one that was actually running her mouth the most, and she probably was the instigator because the Most High chastised her the worst. But then you got these other men, they come and challenge Moses in the same thing. Who do you think you are putting yourself over the people? We are all the people of the Most High. And the Most High had to come down and say, hey, you need to stay in your place. And judgment was swift. And I think the problem with today, as we are learning the way of the Most High, we're learning how he reacts to people who are rebellious, that people think that he's slack because we don't see judgment come right away. We're not seeing people die the way that these people are dying. Immediately. But he says, tells us in the New Testament that people think he's slack concerning his promises, concerning his word, that what he says he's going to do, that he's going to do. So they don't believe him, and they just think that they can get away with stuff. But he says, I have set a day. So I was immediate with Israel, but I have set a day that I'm going to call you all into judgment. And I'm going to judge you according to your works. So you thought you got away with that? He's saying, I don't forget anything. And it is written. That's the thing we got to understand. It is written. So we don't want to be disrespectful to the Most High on any level. We don't want to be disrespectful to those he puts in authority. We don't want to be disrespectful to the structure that he has. We don't want to be disrespectful to his word, because he takes it as you're being disrespectful to him. And we have to understand this. And so we may not see people drop dead or get consumed by fire before our eyes as soon as they are disobedient. But the Most High says, don't think that you got away with it. Don't think that it won't be recalled, whether it was good or whether it was bad, whatever you've done. Don't think that I'm not going to call it back on you. So, you know, we have to truly be repentant and truly turn away and truly be sorry. You know, I think the problem with a lot of people in these days concerning repentance, that there's no true sorrow. There's no godly sorrow, that they have offended the Most High. And in a lot of things, we're just sorry that we got caught up in it. We're sorry that, maybe we didn't know. And now we know, and we're sorry that we did it for that reason. But the reason really needs to be that we have offended and transgressed against the Most High Elohim. That has to be our modus operandi, our main reason for repentance. So let's jump into Numbers chapter 19. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which Yah has commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. The yoke is the thing that goes around the animal's neck to control them. So the Most High is saying, go find a red heifer, a red cow that has never been used for labor, and you shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh, her blood, her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. So we got the sacrificial cow, the heifer. And then he says, burn her skin, her flesh, her blood, everything, even her dung. Everything about this animal is to be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it in the midst while it's burning. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterwards he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. Now, this priest didn't slaughter this animal. Eleazar, he's not the one actually burning it, but he's the one putting the hyssop. Let me say before I misspeak. But he has dipped his finger in her blood, okay? So he has blood on him. But he's unclean. And so he's to come back to the camp, wash, and then he's unclean until the evening after performing this act. Verse 7 again. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterwards he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. And after that burneth, and he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for water of separation. It is purification for sin. So we got this, the ashes of this red heifer that have been mixed with the hyssop and the cedar with it, and the scarlet, and it's going to be mixed with water, and it's going to be used for purification. And I believe that this is also the water that is used when a man is jealous of his wife. The same water she's made to drink, okay, to see if she has messed around. So I believe this is the same water. And he that gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. So, you know, we got to understand when we go to funerals, okay, the Most High, as a priest, there are only certain people that you can actually go to their funeral. They have to be a close loved one. But for the common masses, for, and I don't want to really use that word common, but for the laity, for the congregation that is not part of the priesthood, the ministering priesthood, you couldn't just go to their funeral. And if you were the high priest, you could even go for your father or your mother, somebody close, if you were acting as high priest. So he says, he that touches a dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with this water. When he says with it, he's talking about this water of purification, the red heifer that got burnt. On the third day and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever touches the dead body of any man that is dead and purifies not himself defileth the tabernacle of Yah. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanliness is yet upon him. Now, I thank the Most High that we have the blood of Messiah, because we have no way of performing this today. We have no altar. We have no red heifer. We can't perform this. And so by this law, if we were still able to do sacrifices, and we didn't do this, and we went to a funeral and we didn't do this, he said we were... To be cut off was not to be separated from the people. We already know this. To be cut off was to be killed. So you touch something dead and you didn't sanctify yourself, the Most High says you were to die too. That's what this cut off means. And so, you know, the penalty, as I said, for 99 out of 100 things, I think we've only read 2 instances where when you transgressed, death wasn't required. Everything else, you transgress, death is required. And so, you know, people aren't really understanding this covenant and the seriousness of it. So to go to, you know, in these days, to go to a funeral, to touch a dead person, and if you didn't sanctify yourself by and purify yourself with the waters of the red heifer, then you yourself were to you remain unclean. And you are to be cut off. And the judgment came immediately. You know, it wasn't like you could say, oh, I forgot. They were coming for you. Did you clean yourself? Did you purify yourself? No, it's after 7 days. They're supposed to carry out the judgment. Okay, the Most High has already judged. His judgment is that that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Why? Because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanliness is yet upon him. So people, you know, people will take that today if they have no understanding of being unclean before the Most High. They would just say, oh, well, they're just unclean. No, this cost them their life. Because the Most High says being unclean and remaining in that state, not doing what he says to be clean, is sin. Being unclean is sin. And so not cleaning yourself in the way that he says your uncleanliness, your sin remains upon you, and death came immediately. This is who the Most High is. And he's, you know, again, this is so we understand he doesn't play with this stuff. Let's continue. This is the law. When a man dies in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which has no cover bound upon it is unclean. Now, you know, people die in people's homes all the time. But they don't follow these laws concerning this as far as everything is unclean. Any open vessels are unclean. Everything in those vessels become unclean, and you're supposed to throw them away because somebody died in the house. There's something about death that we are not fully comprehending. When it comes to, especially to the Most High, because we know this is a loved one and we love this person, but this event, there's something that's released at death that makes everything within that room, because he's saying this is a tent. However large that tent is, everything within that tent, but within the room, within that floor, becomes unclean. And whosoever touches one that is slain with a sword in the open field, this is in battle, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, the bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. I know people who, you know, they had a child that died, and they go to the graveyard every week. But by the laws of the Most High, the fact that they went into the graveyard, they would be unclean 7 days. And if they're going one day every week, they're unclean for weeks, for a long time. Okay? And because people really don't understand the nature of uncleanliness before the Most High, we are in transgression a lot of times, even in our mourning, in our grief. And we have to get right with the Most High with it. And a lot of times, because people don't understand it, they never do. And so this for me, like I said, when I first learned just how serious being unclean is before the Most High, a lot of people just wouldn't accept the seriousness of it. And I would say, you know, you're not supposed to do X while you're in this condition. And they'd be like, it ain't that serious. I said, you really don't understand how serious it is. It is really just that serious. So, again, this comes back to us learning how the Most High looks at things and the way the world looks at it and the way the world treats it and how we grew up. And if these things weren't that serious when we grew up because we were not taught they were that serious, then we will act according to how we were raised and not realize that when we learn truth that we have been in unclean situations. You know, we went to somebody's funeral because they were close to the family. But then we came back and didn't realize and didn't treat ourselves as unclean. Because even at that funeral, if the casket was there, then the Most High says, you have been in the same place as this unclean body. And you are unclean. And so you have to do those things that that you have to be in observance and do what he says. Wash yourself, wash your clothes that you had on, and then you are unclean 7 days. Okay, let's keep going. So whosoever touches one that is slain with a sword in the open field, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, you know, your friend fell down, broke their leg. Hopefully you don't touch the bone, because, you know, you can cause infection that way. Or if you go to a grave, you shall be unclean 7 days. Okay? And for the unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer a purification of sin and running water, and shall be put there into a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it into the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that touched a bone, one slain, or a dead body, or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at evening. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he has defiled the sanctuary of Yah. The water of separation has not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And again, this uncleanliness, to stay that way, required your death, your life. Now today, we should honor the time frames that we are unclean, and that we should go before the Most High on the third day and make a special prayer to him, that he forgive us our uncleanliness. And on the seventh day, we cannot sprinkle the water of purification on ourselves. And it is my true belief that Messiah satisfies this requirement. But we still have to understand that we are unclean. Okay? So this requirement, the time frame doesn't go away, but the water of purification and that requirement goes away. We can't keep it. Can't keep the sprinkling of that. And Messiah, his blood would satisfy this requirement. Yet and still, as I said, and I want to reiterate this, you have to recognize that you are in an unclean state and that you are still unclean for 7 days. Okay? All right. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkles the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that touches the water of separation shall be unclean until evening. So even to touch this water of purification and to use it made you unclean. Now the water was an ordinance, and it was to help purify you, but even to use it made you unclean. So something about this water took on the uncleanliness, because the person even doing the sprinkling became unclean, maybe because they were in your presence. The Most High doesn't explain exactly why, but he says that even that person is unclean. Okay? The person who is unclean by virtue of, you know, touching a dead body, and then the person who's doing the cleaning. Both of them have to wash their clothes, and they are both unclean until the evening. And whatsoever the unclean person touch shall be unclean, and the soul that touches it shall be unclean until evening. So, you know, we got to be very careful when it comes to this cleanliness stuff, that we understand how it works. If we are unclean, anything that we touch becomes unclean, which means that it also has to be cleansed. And then once it is cleansed, it is unclean until the evening. Okay. So I know for a fact that this very subject right here, being unclean, is something that the church, the world, Most Hebrews, most Hebrews don't take this as serious as they should. And they're saying that they're keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, but don't really take this seriously. But you see, the penalty for it is what? Death. So if we don't go before Messiah and we don't do the things that the law requires, we don't have the water of purification, and the blood of Messiah will satisfy that requirement. You still have to go before him on the third day, and you still have to go before him on the seventh day to recognize your uncleanliness and understand that you had to wash your clothes and you had to wash yourself, and that you are unclean for 7 days. So the spirit of it, I don't see that going away. The sprinkling, the sprinkling of the waters of purification was for sin and to sanctify you. I truly believe the blood of Messiah satisfies that requirement. You still got to acknowledge that I'm unclean. I put myself in a situation that, I was in the presence of a dead body, whether it's for a friend, family, or whoever. And it has made me unclean before the Most High. Okay. Now, I know some people who have taken this to the next step, and I really need to talk to them about this because they thought that they weren't even able to go to the funeral of their own mother. And they didn't go, and it upset their family. But they didn't want to be, in an unclean state. But I think I will talk to them and say, hey, it would have been okay for you to go. You were unclean for, be unclean for this amount of time. Because as I look back on their actions and what they did, they may have gone a little bit above what the scripture is saying. But they realized that they just couldn't go, and be in the presence of a dead body. But for your mother's sake or father's sake, the scriptures permit it, and this person wasn't, they weren't a priest in the sense of they weren't active in the ministry or anything like that. So they could go for that, and they weren't acting as the high priest. But when we do stuff out of ignorance, not knowing, sometimes we can even go overboard with it. But we have to make sure that we have an understanding of what the Most High requires. And as I said, this particular subject area, being unclean, I know that people take it too light today. But when we read in the New Testament that being unclean, no unclean person shall enter into what the kingdom, then this is serious. And it's not something that you can not know how it functions, what the Most High expects. And I know for a fact, being in the church, I was never taught anything. People would say, cleanliness is next to godliness. And that's as far as it would go. If you kept your house clean. But all those things, they would bring dead bodies into the church for a funeral, not realizing that that made the whole church unclean and everybody in there unclean. This is the ramification of all this. Everybody and everything in that building would be unclean. Now, could they become not unclean? Yes, but they will have to do what the Most High said concerning it. And whether through stupidity, whether through ignorance, or whether through just, I don't think it's required today, they are not observing it. But I want us to understand, each and every one of us, that this is a serious thing before the Most High. And so, we can't practice being unclean. We have to observe what he says concerning this because, number one, the penalty for remaining that way is death. This is a debt, a life and death transgression, as most of them are that we're learning. There are life and death transgressions. And to stay in that state, to get into that state and stay in it, whether through ignorance, the Most High says, you know, then I can forgive you for that because it was done ignorantly. But now that you know, you cannot do it and then feign ignorance or not do what he says to do. So I'm telling you in this instance, no, you don't need the purifying waters of the red heifer. The blood of Messiah is sufficient. But you still need to observe that you are in a state of uncleanliness, so you're not going to take part in anything holy, in his holy things. You're not going to, you know, if we had a building, you're not going to come into the building and make the building unclean. You're not going to be, you know, hugging on the saints, because everybody that you touch, you make unclean. Everything that you touch, you make unclean. And so we have to understand that, okay? Now, if you're in the building and, you know, the body's in the building and everybody in the building is unclean, it don't matter if you hug somebody because you're all unclean anyway. But once you leave out of there and you go home or you go around other people who weren't there, you have to realize that you are in an unclean state and anything that you touch becomes unclean. Anyone that you touch becomes unclean. And it's a serious offense. Okay? We don't want to treat this thing like the world treats it. Oh, you just got some dirt on you. And so all you got to do is wash it off and everything is okay. Yes, that's what you got to do is wash it off and wash your clothes. But you also have to understand that while you are in an unclean state, you cannot take part in anything that is holy. And this is where a lot of people are truly messing up, because they're coming before the Most High in that condition. Whether in ignorance, as I said, or in stupidity, or just outright, you know, defiance. Doesn't make a difference. And it's serious enough where he says that no unclean person shall enter into the kingdom. So they can't say that, you know, he changed his mind in the New Testament. You can't say that he changed his mind, you know, with the blood of Messiah. Because it is assumed that you are under the blood of Messiah, and he still says that if you are unclean, you can't enter in. That means that if you become in that state, you have to do what it takes to become clean. And it first starts out with knowing that you're unclean, and then not transgressing in any other ways. As I said, taking part in something holy, coming before the Most High in a condition that he says, I won't accept you in this condition. All right, let's move on. So the things that we don't know, the things that are in the covenant, the things that come forward in the covenant, that the world is not observing and saying that they are in the new covenant. This is why we're doing this, so that we don't continue to transgress before the Most High, so that we don't continue to be in a state where we are living a lie. Because it doesn't matter whether we do it in ignorance. If we don't ever learn, the Most High says you can believe a lie and be damned. That's to the lake, because you chose to believe the lie. But he's, you know, allowing us through doing this review to If not, remind us to teach us anew what his requirements are, that we live before him wholly, that we obey his voice. Okay? Numbers chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, in the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode at Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. You know, our, like I said, from the very beginning, our people have been stiff-necked and hard-headed. This ain't the first time they've been without water. And the people chose with Moses. Let's look at this word, chose. I think it's like almost like the jest, chide. The old preterite of chide. Let's look up chide in the Webster's Dictionary. Give me a hot second. So this is what the scriptures accuse them of doing. Definition of chide: scold, rebuke. So they were rebuking Moses because there was no water. Okay? And spake, saying, would Elohim that we had died when our brethren died before Yah. Look at how many times, see how these people talk? Every time that there is some type of adversity, they're always throwing it up in the Most High's face and saying, we wish we had died when our brethren died before Yah, when Yah killed them for their coming and complaining about him killing the 250 and Korah and his family and the two other brothers that were with him and their families, for challenging them. Here they are scolding Moses and then saying to the Most High, we wish Elohim that we had died. We wish we had Elohim had killed us when our brethren died before Yah. And why have you brought up the congregation of Yah into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here, there? See the nature of this people and why the Most High said they lack faith. Every time there's an adversity, we wish we were dead. You brought us out here to kill us. I hope when we move onto the land and adversity comes up against us, that the people who come don't get this mentality, that they put their faith in the Most High, that he didn't bring us out there to kill us. Because this people right here, every time there was a challenge, every time something didn't go directly the way that they thought it should go, there's a challenge for them, first thing they want to do is die. First thing they want to do is challenge the Most High and say, you know, in this case, what they would be saying, the Most High didn't tell us to come out here. The Most High didn't tell us to do this. The Most High didn't tell you to bring us out here. This is what people will do because they know the Most High brought them out here. And they're saying, why did you bring us out here? So I know that if we run into adversity on the land that the Most High is allowing us to get, if there's any type of challenge, people will say, the Most High didn't tell us to come out here. I can hear it already. I pray that our faith is stronger than that and that we understand that we have to overcome adversity and that our trust has to remain in the Most High, period. But I know it's going to happen because it's the nature of Israel. Okay? Verse 4 again. Why have you brought up the congregation of Yah into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die here? Die there. Wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. Complaining, complaining, complaining. I mean, if you look at the land that we are about to take hold of, there is no food on that land. There's no pomegranates, no grapes, no oranges, no tomatoes or cucumbers or leeks or anything yet. There is no water on the land yet. Are people going to complain like this? I wonder. Why did you tell us to come out here? And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of Yah appeared unto them. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Take thy rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before Yah as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. Now, the Most High didn't tell him to chastise the people. This next verse causes Moses and Aaron not to enter into the promised land. Okay? Not that he hit the rock, because the Most High didn't tell him to hit the rock either. Okay? And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels, must we? Soon as he said we, I could see the Most High look at him and say, What do you mean we? You are my servant. Anything that you are doing is through me. And we're going to see what the Most High accuses him of, okay? So you can understand why Moses didn't enter in. And you can understand why I'm very careful about taking any credit for anything, okay? Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with the rod, and he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Verse 12, And Yah spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses took the credit from the Most High, and he didn't sanctify the Most High. Hear, O Israel, Yah your Elohim shall bring you water to drink out of this rock. See the glory of the Most High. Observe his power. Give him the credit. Moses chose to chastise the people and take credit. And the Most High says they did that out of unbelief. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with Yah, and he was sanctified in them. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith the brother of Israel, Thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto Yah, he heard our voice and sent an angel and has brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are at Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Now, before we move on, be very careful if the Most High uses you, that you give him all the glory, the honor, and the praise, that you take none for yourself, because in and of yourself, you can do nothing. In and of yourself, you can do nothing. And if the Most High chooses to use you, make sure you keep that always before your eyes, in the front of your mind. Never make it, never think it's you. Never think it's you. This one thing caused Moses not to be able to take the people into the promised land. And so it's critical. It's of utmost importance that we don't make the same mistake. And it's of utmost importance that we have to understand that Moses messed up one time. We mess up on the regular. That's why we ought to be very afraid for our salvation. That's why we ought to be praying on the regular that the Most High does not impute our sins against us. And the Most High doesn't repent with Moses. He doesn't say, okay, you only messed up once. It's okay, it's all right. You can take the people in. Doesn't say that to Moses, ever. You are not like my servant Moses, whom I speak with mouth to mouth. And so we, his people, I'm telling you with an urgency, with an importance, that don't think that you can be in sin before the Most High and that he's got to forgive you and that he's got to let you in. We take our salvation in our hand every time we do it. And here it is, the man that, this is where I get my examples from, the man that the Most High said he was closest with. I speak to him mouth to mouth. He messed up one time, and the Most High says, you are not going to take the people in. You're not going to enter the promised land. It wasn't just that he wasn't taking the people in. He's not entering in. Now, will he enter into the kingdom of heaven, the eternal kingdom? I truly believe he will. But this one thing caused him not to enter into the promised land. And so we should not ever take it lightly that, you know, yeah, I messed up. You may very well have cost yourself the kingdom. You may have very well caused or signed your warrant to the lake of fire, being foolish, not taking the salvation of the Most High seriously. He is not to be trifled with, and the more we read, the more we ought to understand that. He is not to be trifled with. You don't take him for granted. You don't use him that way. You don't even think that you have a right to use him that way. And even if he was more lenient, here's the thing, and I think what the Most High really wants us to understand, even if he's going to be more lenient, even if he's going to have mercy towards you, you should not be of the mindset that you can do this, easily do it, without fear of what the ramifications, the percussions, are going to be behind it. So I pray that we see this. I pray that we understand it. I pray that we get a genuine fear for the Most High, and that we don't, you know, keep using our humanity, because Moses was human. He messed up once, and he didn't get to see the promised land. And we try to use that excuse that we're human, and we keep messing up and using the excuse that, you know, we're a man, and the Most High knows that I'm only human. Yeah, he knows. He don't care. And if you think he does, then you are sadly deceived. Because in the scriptures, his example that he gives us, he don't ever say, "Well, I know you're but a man." He says, "I know you're a man and you're sinful, but I'm also calling you to do something greater than you are, and I'm going to hold you accountable to it. So don't use that excuse that I'm only human, because I'm telling you to do something that I expect you to do." And this is the travesty. This is the tragedy in the church today. This is the tragedy that of what they're teaching people. That it's okay. If you sin, it's okay. Just confess your sin, and he is true and just to forgive you. Only if it's in ignorance. Only if it's done. It says Moses acted out of unbelief. But it sounds like he didn't have any belief in the people. Either way it goes, it caused him not to enter in. So we got to be very careful. And I really want us to stress that with us. That we got to be very careful that we don't take the Most High for granted. That we don't abuse his word and try to twist it. And twist it to justify ourselves. That we can stay the way that we are. And feel like, you know, he's got to let us in. Because I'm seeing more and more and more and more and more. It's just not true. It's not true. And people are teaching lies. And they're going to cause a lot of people to go to the lake. So take Moses as the example. You know, it is, David had to be somebody very special. The Most High had to see something very special in David. And David's heart had to be very special with the Most High. Had to be genuine. That when he, you know, he probably knew he shouldn't have been with Bathsheba. But when his sin was called upon him, he had genuine sorrow. And the Most High didn't impute his sin against him. But that is not typically how the Most High acts. It's not how he reacts. So there, you know, there's something very special about the relationship even between David and the Most High and David's heart. And what the Most High says, David is a man after the Most High's own heart. So David had to, you know, truly realize who he was dealing with. But the nature of the Most High is not to let you get away with it. And we see here, not even after the first time. And the closer you are to him, the closer you are to him, the faster the judgment comes. So let's take Moses take him as an example. You don't know where you might fall out at. And so you should not be trying to take advantage of the Most High's mercy, because you don't know actually if he's going to dispense it to you, if he's actually going to offer it to you. He didn't offer it to Moses. So we want to be very careful that we don't take credit. We don't take his glory. That we don't offend him. Let's finish this up so we can close out for this morning. So he's reaching out to this leader of this land and telling him what the Most High has done with the nation of Israel. And when we cried out, verse 16, and when we cried out unto Yah, he heard our voice and sent an angel and has brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are at Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we pass thy borders. So Moses got a million plus people with him. He's saying, hey, we're not going to pass through your fields. We're not going to pass through your vineyards. We're not going to drink your water. All the thing we're going to do is pass by. Okay? And Edom, now this is actually their brothers. Remember, Edom is Jacob's brother. So these are relatives. Said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. Now his own brother, his own relative, his own kin, is saying, nah, you ain't coming through my land. And if you do, I'm going to come after you with the sword. And, you know, when it meant to draw the sword, it was to kill. It's not an idle threat. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, whereof Israel turned away from him. And the Most High would have turned away from Edom. This is why Edom is up under the curse, even from Esau, before this action right here. He turned against his own family, his own brother, his relatives. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And Yah spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against me, against my word at the water of Meribah. So Aaron don't get to enter in. Now Aaron has done a couple of things. He made the golden calf. He came against Moses, him and Miriam. But now the Most High is saying, because you rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah, you're not going to enter into the promised land. So it's time for you to die, Aaron. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up into Mount Hor. Now, I want us to get a mindset here and understand. If the Most High just tells you that you're about to die, most of us don't want to see death. We get sick, and we don't want to see death. You know, we do everything we can to delay that day. But the Most High has told Aaron, you're not entering in. Tomorrow you won't be here. You know, that's got a weight on your mind, if you think about it. That's got a weight on you. It would weigh on me. Wow, tomorrow I'm going to be dead. Maybe tonight. So he says, take Eleazar, his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as Yah commanded. And they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. So he didn't even get to live that night. As soon as the Most High pronounced judgment, it was carried out. It wasn't, you know, tomorrow morning or the next day or next month. Immediately. So, you know, put yourself in Aaron's shoes. This was announced suddenly too. You know, he might have been having plans. Yeah, when we get over in the promised land and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I got plans, you know, to be with the wife and the children. And the Most High says, uh-uh. Moses, we are about to enter into the promised land, and Moses already knows he can't enter in either. But take Aaron up on top of this mountain, him and his son, remove his priestly garments and transfer them to his son. And he's going to die there. And so you know when you get to the top of this mountain, your life is over. That's got to weigh heavy on you. It just has to. Okay? And when all the congregation saw Aaron was dead, they mourned Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. So, you know, they loved Aaron, but the Most High was like, I can see him saying to Aaron, you'd have messed up a few times, and I didn't kill you, but now it's time. And because you disobeyed, because you acted out of unbelief, because you rebelled, at the waters of Meribah. And see, get this now, Moses is the one that was speaking, but Moses says, shall we? I don't know if Moses and Aaron got together in between the time that they talked to the Most High and the time that they talked to the people and they colluded together. This is what we're going to say. Either way it goes, they both got blamed for the same thing. So it sounded like there was some collusion between them in that short time. Because he's accused of the same thing Moses is accused of. So let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you on this morning. Father, you continue to reveal yourself to your people. And you continue to give us clarity in our heart that we might not walk before you in offense, that we might not offend you in the word, that we might honor your word, that we know that you are serious about your word and that Israel has always acted foolishly in unbelief, always murmuring and complaining, never believing you for your word, and that even your chosen servant, in a moment of being puffed up in unbelief, sinned against you, and that your judgment came immediately. Father, we are so very, very sorry for our acts of unbelief and for our disobedience and for taking you for granted in the past, Father, for not believing you for your word and thinking that we were so special that you just had to forgive us, that we're a good person. Father, forgive us. Forgive us in our disobedience and in our arrogance. And Father, if it has been in ignorance, Father, forgive us of our ignorance. But Father, look at our heart. Let our heart be as David's heart before you. That we truly are sorry that we have transgressed. Look into our hearts, Father, and see our motivation. That we are sorry with godly sorrow that we have transgressed your word and that we have been disobedient. And have mercy upon us. Impute not our sins against us. For we were stupid and ignorant, hard-hearted. We were taught in error. Or we just wanted to believe, Father, that we could remain in our condition and that you would overlook our flaws. Father, we will not act in this ignorance anymore. We won't act in this form of disobedience any longer. But we will be before you ever, walking in truth, not taking you for granted. For you are Elohim. You are sovereign, and you answer to no one or anything. Who are we but the dust of the earth? Father, we will be obedient to you and to your word, and we will walk in the faith. And we won't complain. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Father, I want to lift up Sister Denise and her family before you on this morning. That you might give them some comfort in this time of loss. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. On this evening, we will probably continue so that we can, you know, move toward finishing our review of the covenant, that we might move into the New Testament, that we might be able to do a new work and establish ourselves in the new covenant of the Most High in knowledge, with a zeal, with knowledge though, not in ignorance. And so it's in my heart to introduce some new precepts directed at men, but also we need to finish this, and we need to stay in fear of the Most High. Stop thinking that you got a buddy. Stop thinking that, like, the Most High is your friend. He is your Elohim, and you need to respect him as your Elohim. He is your father. You still need to respect him as your father. And if you have disrespected your earthly father, you cannot disrespect your heavenly one. So I pray that the Most High keeps you the rest of the day, that you eat well in His Word, and that you get the prescribed rest today. Take some time and spend some time with the Most High. If you are guilty of anything that we have talked about today, make sure you go before the Most High and you repent with all your heart. That you truly repent with all your heart. And pray that He impute not your sin against you. Have the heart of David. Don't have the heart of Saul, where you make an excuse. The people. Well, they taught me like this. As you learn truth, hold yourself to the truth. So I pray, and that, you know, I see you all this evening. If I have asked you to call me, give me a call. I need to talk to you. See how you're doing. Do that wellness check. And I love you all. May the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you. I really do. But I can't love you like the Most High Elohim loves you. Keep your eye on Him. Keep your faith in Him. Let Him be your motivation. And the offense of Him, let it motivate you to walk in His ways. Shalom, family.
Without you, there's no need. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. step, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth.